John Daly here. You know what day it is?
Neither do I.
I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Look at the time. Look at the time.
Look at the time. It is Hut and the Clock. Noon on a Wednesday. It is Jonathan Hut and the Clock. Caroline Willie D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mike with Hutton Withrow, joins us now. Hutton, our favorite time of the week when you come and join us. Rough one in London for the Tennessee Titans. And we had a lot of callers and texters throughout the entire week say, bench Tannehill, we're done with Tannehill. They were enraged when Mike Vrabel said, if Tannehill's healthy enough to go, he's going to be our starter. What do you think the Titans need to do at the quarterback position?
Well, if he's healthy enough to go, they should go with him. He's the best quarterback on the roster. To this point, Will Levis hasn't been able to beat out Malik Willis, and that's telling. Considering what we saw from Malik Willis. And that's with me also adding in, Willis looked pretty good in the preseason. But this offense in Tannehill, he's got to be the leader of that quarterback spot. And as long as he can go, yeah, he's the guy. If not, I mean, there's a lot of discussion about what happens over the bye week here and whether or not we'll see Levis coming out against Atlanta. I don't know about you guys. I have a suspicion, and I think we're trending towards seeing both guys in Atlanta, against Atlanta. I don't know if that's the best option or not.
Like both Willis and Levis.
Yeah, I do. I'm just saying that because we haven't seen Will Levis yet, and Malik Willis gives them an option in the run game in a different area that they can play with the scheme that we saw. Again, I'm not saying it's a great option. Do they have the jump with the backup option? I mean, I think if Tannehill goes, by the way, I think at minimum Will Levis should be the backup quarterback for that game. But I think we're trending more and more towards seeing both. And it's either just going to be because simply Willis isn't cutting it, or they're going to have something in the game plan for the backup QB, which would be Levis in my scenario.
And I'm with you that if Tannehill can't go, I'd like to at least see Levis get an opportunity. But what concerns me is the fact that Levis hasn't won the backup job yet.
Yeah. And, well, I mean, he was injured during camp, and by this point, you would like to see him make that move, right? Malik Willis has been sacked on 17.5% of his career dropbacks. That's the second highest rate for any quarterback with 50 or more pass attempts in the last 30 seasons. And it was Luke Falk, by the way, who's higher. At minimum, he's got – I think you elevate Levis just for the sheer – point of it seems like he's the guy moving forward, not Willis as the starter next season if we're just projecting here. But he's been third string all season, getting no reps, getting no opportunities in meeting rooms to have responsibilities. I mean, he's got responsibilities, but not like the backup would have. It's like a redshirt quarterback, except the draft capital points to a massive mess. And if he doesn't play in 13 days or what, moving on now, 11 days, what was the point in not in training up to grab him for the second consecutive year they've drafted a QB? And at this point, guys, I think we know Malik Willis is a backup quarterback at best in the National Football League.
At best.
They may have a potential starter in Levis. I would make that move I don't know. It's just a suspicion that I think we'll see both guys. And that's just to see what both would have within a game plan that they would try to mix and match. I don't agree with it. It's just a bet that I would make. It's like betting on the draw in soccer.
Now, Hutt, with that being said, because the fans are, and I get it, you know, the fans, they see what's going on in AFC South, and they see these three quarterbacks, and, you know, they see the three teams, Houston, Indianapolis, and Jacksonville, and they see that, okay, they found their quarterbacks, whether we can debate whether they're franchise quarterbacks or not, but the right. fans are looking at it as if, okay, those three teams got their quarterback of the future. The Titans are sitting here basically in purgatory. They know that Malik Willis, at least from the fans' perspective, isn't the future. They know Tannehill, this is his last season, and they're wondering about Will Levis. Is he the guy? So I think fans are now like, listen, this roster's not good enough to make a true push for a playoffs. Let's see what this young guy can do, because ultimately, if you don't see what he can do this season, then you're praying and hoping next season when you finally do get an opportunity for him to play and show that he's worth what you thought he was worth and that he's going to be your future quarterback. Because if he's not, the fans are going to be even more pissed at you, because they're going to say you had an opportunity to put him in a season that you know was lost, so we can see what we had, but you didn't, and now we've lost out on the quarterbacks of this draft.
Well, and let's take it a step further, because even if, and it's not even if, within that building, Vrabel is focused on 2023.
Exactly.
And at 2-4, even if outside the building, we would say, you know what, there's a path to the playoffs here. I know that Vrabel's preaching that within his circle at St. Thomas Sports
Park. And he
Park.
Should.
And he should. There's a number of teams that have three wins. The Titans have two. And you've certainly got right in front of you in the AFC South, two teams there. But also, I mean, the Jets right now are 3-3. You know, they're thinking playoff. The thing is, though, Mace, I don't disagree with you on the mentality of the fans or the fact that you're looking at a season that doesn't seem to be getting much better down the path here. This is where I think there's a bit of just an uncertainty. The feeling going into this season was, okay, there are certain areas where the offensive line has to hold up. The quarterback play, can they keep him healthy? Tannehill, I'm talking about, and you kind of knew with his ankle and the changes weren't going to be great early on. They've reached this point now. But the feeling I have of where this is all headed is pretty evident given how this team is playing. They're not playing like the other group of teams that have started slow but have that QB that is getting healthier, or have the identity that they've been running with. They just haven't been winning ball games. Whether Tannehill is healthy or not, or to me, it doesn't really matter. I'm not saying it happens now if Tannehill is capable of playing, but at 2-4, the season is capable of being lost in a very short stretch right when they return from the bye week. The vibe is different with this team. It just seems like a bunch of dudes that are just keeping their head down. It doesn't feel like the tight-knit groups from the past, and that's where I think we really measure Vrabel's message moving forward, because – the veterans, not just Tannehill, but Henry, Byard, Simmons, there's a group of them. They've always kept the tenor in the locker room, straightforward, ignore the noise, find a way, make a play. Even when they were struggling, it's been really tight-knit. And I'm sure a big part of my feeling on just kind of the vibe of purgatory is all the roster turnover. But the smart players know that there's another big roster turnover coming this offseason too. It's going to be a hell of a rebuild. It'll be interesting to see how patient Amy Adams Strunk is with all of that. And also, I'm intrigued, just a non-sequitur here, I'm intrigued by the mentality of Tannehill. Because last year, he pushed through the ankle injury until he absolutely had to have the surgery in order to get back in case he could within a short time frame. I have no idea the severity, but that toughness and grit that he showed last season with how he stuck with it, trying to give everything he had, I'll never question his team first mentality. What that was last season, prior to ownership waving the white flag in early December and firing Robinson, and then starting that rebuild that they refused to fully embrace. And a year later, what happens with this injury now? With some players, in situations like this, where guys know that they're not a part of the plan past this season, some will opt to go ahead and have a surgery sooner rather than later, instead of waiting for the offseason, knowing that their health and their mentality going to the offseason for how teams are going to judge them, GMs are going to judge them, coaches, will help them land a better gig with a possible better payday. And if you're – when injuries are on the fringe of opting for procedure, contracts, relationships, and future outlooks all play a factor in the player's decision. It's something they'll never admit behind a podium, but you'll hear about behind the scenes. And that's got to be something that's crossing the mind of not just Tannehill, but others looking forward to, I mean, a run that kind of feels like eventually we're going to see the rookie quarterback. And that points to kind of the same mentality that we've seen from moves of last year. If they make it early in the season, you can get on a run. They went to VY his rookie year, and they went on a run, and things looked up on the up and up as you move forward. They need that from Levis to kind of propel them into next year. Tannehill knows he's not that guy, and I think we all know Willis is not that guy.
Yeah, unfortunately, it doesn't seem like, you know, Malik is that guy, at least not a starter. And we don't know if Will Levis is that guy at all. But Caroline asked, you know, Vrabel a question about the offensive line in regards to, you know,
this line.
Yeah. And his answer.
What
did you think of his answer? In particular, the part where he says, we don't want to get into a drop back game. How did you understand that to be? Because I tell you how I understood it to be after you tell me how you understood it to be. When a coach says, after being asked that question, he says, we don't want to get into a drop back game.
You know what I thought? I'm sorry. Did you oversee the game plan that we rolled out in week one? That's what I would be asking if I'm inside the building. They ignored the run game in the second half of week one against the New Orleans Saints. That was a drop back pass game. They don't want to get a drop back pass game, but he preaches, you know, playing smart, ignoring the penalties, not ignoring them, trying to ignore the noise and focus and not have the big penalty. That's all they do. They're getting into a drop back pass game, not because the offensive line is blocking so well for the run game. They're getting into there because of mental errors and not correcting those types of mistakes that have been preached post game after post game. I mean, this group seems different. You know, they went with some backup guys. And by the way, they gave money to John Robinson guys this offseason on the offensive line, who were backups. So, this is their own doing. If they want to ignore or try to get rid of the drop back pass game, it was inevitable given the situation here with the offense. And I mean, they brought it on in week one. It's like that was their game plan.
Exactly.
So I don't know he's trying to get he wants to get down into third and run or pass, third and manageable. And that's what they haven't been able to do. They've been very good on first down and awful on third down.
Well, I you're right. And I sort of look at that from the standpoint of, and I told Carolyn this because we were discussing it before you came on. When you answer a question in that manner, when you say, well, we don't want to get into a drop back game, is
that's
it
the league.
Part – that's the NFL, right?
So you can't do 50% of what the line needs to do.
Exactly. So what you're saying is, in essence, our line isn't good enough. But you didn't say that, but you did say that. And then you did say, well, our offensive line is not that bad. We're good, in a sense. You can't say
we're pass protect.
Yeah, you can't say you're good, but then say, well, we don't want to get into a drop back game. Are you saying you don't want to throw the ball 30, 40 times a game? I agree with you. I don't want you to throw the ball 30 or 40 times a game. But a drop back to me means I should be able to have the ability when I want to drop back five steps. Nobody's really doing seven-step drops no more unless they play action. I should be able to get into a three-step or a five-step drop game. I should be good enough to do that. But you're saying we're not, but we are. you're contradicting yourself in the same answer.
Well, the identity has been the run game. Uh-huh. But I can't help but think they've made Derrick Henry more or less. He's not the backup, but he's splitting reps as a starter now. And on the O-line, if they're great at running the ball, let's see it. Get after it. And some of their best runs have been called back for penalties. But yeah, Mace, you're right. And the what they're trying to avoid is where the defense pins back the ears and gets after the quarterback.
And that's what every team wants to avoid.
What I saw them bring in this offseason just wasn't cutting it. And there are a lot of questions. And we didn't see much in the preseason. And here we are. They also don't have a great receiving core. They're ignoring the fact that they've got two backs that should be the engine to the offense. And meanwhile, they're setting up third and longs. And that is a recipe for disaster with this offense.
And that's what is so crazy to me, is I'll see Tim Kelly design and dial up great plays that sometimes just aren't executed very well. But then I see him, give Derrick Henry the ball 12 times against the Ravens, abandon the run in the second half. Derrick Henry's on the sideline when it's third and one in the red zone and Malik Willis isn't at quarterback. There are some things that seem great and obvious and really, really smart that Tim Kelly does. And then there are things that are obvious that he doesn't do. I'm thinking, what are you doing? Are you trying to win this football game?
Well, and some of it is they're only getting a certain number of carries because of the number of snaps. Mace mentioned they don't want to get into a 30 or 40 pass game. They're lucky to get to 40 plays. No team runs fewer plays per game than the Tennessee Titans. The clock runs a lot in Titans games, and the offense just doesn't keep the ball enough. And as a result, they don't score either due to lack of chances or the inability to actually put it through the end zone past the goal line. They run 16 fewer plays per game than the best offense in the National Football League. They're 26th in scoring. They're averaging 17 points per game. And they've got really one receiver because Treylon Burks, from what I'm told, is slow to get back. And that's frustrating for some behind the scenes. They need him back after the bye week to at least give them another option instead of Hopkins.
How much of the Titans' issues right now, whether it's play calling, personnel, so on and so forth, coaching overall, how much of that is due to Vrabel? Like, how much of the Titans' situation that they're in right now, 2-4, tough questions that they're going to have to answer at the trade deadline, how much of that is on Mike Vrabel's shoulders?
Well, I mean, technically it starts and ends with him because he's the head coach, right? And he oversees the game plans. Yeah, exactly. He oversees the game plans. And look, it's also past awful acquisitions that are coming back to bite them with this roster, but they had options this offseason. They spent money on Dillard, who is, a backup now, and they spent money on a backup who's now a backup. That's my point. They've got a backup at center who now, he's trying to level up at center moving forward, backup at guard, rookie at guard, and a piecemealing together right tackle because of a stupid suspension from the NFL with Nicholas Petit-Frere, who wasn't great last Sunday either. But this is more than just overseeing a game plan. I mean, this is in many cases just mental errors and awful play. I mean, it's just they're not executing. Players aren't good enough. And you've got Tannehill averaging under 161 yards per game passing on the road. And he's taken 11 sacks on the road. I'm counting London as a road game as well. And it took 10 quarters, by the way, to score an offensive touchdown on the road, 14 quarters to score a second touchdown. And in 16 quarters on the road, they have zero passing touchdowns. They knew their wide receiver needed to be upgraded. They knew they needed more speed. Vrabel mentioned all of that. And instead, they passed on options in order – they drafted a running back to be a boost to the passing game. And, I mean, again, it's options that they had. They're taking flyers. They're playing the board as you – other teams play the board, and they play the board based on positions that will really help them going into the season. And I think the veterans on the roster are looking around going, man, we need help here. It starts with them. Simmons is pointing to guys that want to be there. Simmons is voicing frustration. I'm sure he's frustrated with his own play, just like Byard would be doing that. Henry, others, the top paid guys have to come through for Vrabel, and that's not happening right now.
Quickly, Hutton, what did you make of Jeffrey Simmons' comments in the locker room?
I think it's a combination of things. I take it seriously, by the way. I mean, I start there, and I think that's a signal of just the overall air and just kind of the temper of the locker room, even the off season. Like, are we going after Hopkins? Are we in a rebuild mode? Are we drafting two quarterbacks in back-to-back drafts to replace Tannehill? Is he going to be traded? Is Henry going to be traded? Look, yeah, there were a lot of questions with all of that. Uncertainty. Byard, you know, was a big saga too. Simmons gets paid, and it just pointing to him, he would admit this too. He's got to be a game wrecker. If the defensive front is not a storyline in the game recap, the Titans aren't winning that game. I don't even need to see the score. I can tell you the Titans aren't winning that game. It's either defensive front is dominant or they're not. And then they're in the game. They're getting the ball back. They're disruptive. They're not getting the ball back to the offense when it actually is truly needed in a critical situation for the most part. And they're giving up some awful penalties too that are bailing out the opposition. But I'm sure there are players that have voiced frustration or are acting like it behind the scenes. And Simmons is actually voicing it out of frustration after another loss. And according to, I believe, Marlon Humphrey, Simmons got into a fight with Odell Beckham Jr. after the game. You waited on Odell on the field, and these comments would come after all that took place. Mm. So, it was a mess.
Well,
it's a mess.
Hutt, I saw the play, and we discussed it yesterday, and we can discuss this further some other time because we know we got to get you out of here.
Okay.
But that was a dirty play by Simmons. A dirty play. And I hated seeing it because he went at that young man's legs. And while two people already had him, and they were going to blow the whistle, but he deliberately, you can see it, he deliberately looked at him and went straight at his legs. You're 300 pounds, dude. And we're all here. This game is a physical game already. And we're all here to protect one another within reason. I understand that. But you don't go after a guy when he's sitting in a vulnerable position like that and you outweigh him by over 100 pounds. Mm-hmm. To me, it was inexcusable. I understand why Odell said something to him. Some people say he need him. I don't know if he need him or not. But, hell, I would have need him, too, if he would have went at one of my guys like that. And then Simmons, on top of that, gets the penalty. So there's a lot of frustration going around, mm-hmm. it seems, that locker room. And it's not just Jeffrey Simmons.
Again, Simmons, according to Humphrey, Simmons is – while they're walking off the field after swapping jerseys, Humphreys I'm talking about, Simmons has his helmet on, just staring and looking around. And he thought Simmons is looking for family members. And instead, he was trying to find Odell, and then they end up in a situation after the game. It's intriguing. And you're right. The frustration boiled over. But if this keeps up, and think about what would happen in the locker room after a Falcons loss and they go to 2-5. Oof. This is where Vrabel in the past has been able to keep the locker room on track, on path, on the road. And it's been the vets who have done that. Simmons has to be one of those guys, if not the guy. And it can't let it bleed over the way it did.
I mean, Jeffrey Simmons is a leader on this team. You got to keep your cool. Like, I get the frustration. Right. I understand it. You need to keep your cool, and you're going to hurt the football team if you don't. And he did on Sunday.
Yes, exactly. And so just as well as those that are not wanting to be there hurting the team, it's no different with Simmons in that particular situation.
Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton Withrow. Hutton, always appreciate you. Appreciate you for stopping by. We'll chat next week.
Always enjoy this. You guys have a great rest of the week.
All right. Thanks, Hutton. We'll react to what Hutton had to say there. Plus, I'm glad that we brought up the Jeffrey Simmons comments because there may be a new saga in that, and we'll break it down coming up next. Caroline Billy D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
I guess after the game, Marlon Humphrey said this on his podcast. After the game, this is what he heard and saw.
Bro, did you see the post game? I don't think that got out.
I don't think. What? Why? What happened?
No, it didn't.
Dude, I'm sitting there after the game.
Okay.
A jersey swapped with a dude. So, like, it took me a while. So, I'm, like, taking my jersey off and, like, I saw.
Big fan of the guy.
Yeah, right.
Helmet on.
Helmet on.
Helmet on. I'm like, oh, he must got, like, family on our team or something. He's still just looking. So, like, I'm over here trying to take the jersey on my path. And then I walk up to him, like, I'm thinking, like, oh, he wants to show me love. Like, he respects my game. So, yeah, bro. And, like, he wasn't. Like, I really just went up to him. He wasn't waiting on me either. So, I'm like, okay, whatever. Like, go holler at somebody. And then as my back's turned to him, our guy goes, Rodney, Rodney. Starts yelling, Rodney's our security's name. And I'm like, anytime you start yelling security, like, Rodney, Rodney, like, freaking out. I turn around, Odell and Jeffrey are, like, fighting.
No way.
Bro, I'm pretty sure Odell's grabbing his face mask. Like they had to get separated and everything. I don't know how this has not hit, like,
that's
the media.
Crazy.
Dude, he wanted the fade from getting that P.I.
Okay.
What? So that was Marlon Humphrey on the Pat McAfee show. And, of course, Marlon Humphrey, he's a corner for the Baltimore Ravens. Jonathan Hutton brought that up to us. Jonathan Hutton, Hot Mic with Hutton and Withrow, joined us in the last segment. He brought that up and said, I don't know if anybody's really been talking about this. But, of course, we saw Jeffrey Simmons and Odell Beckham Jr. get into it. Odell Beckham Jr. need Jeffrey Simmons. Jeffrey Simmons got the personal foul because of it. Set the Ravens up for a touchdown. And then apparently Jeffrey Simmons waiting around for Odell Beckham Jr. after the game, and they start fighting after the game. Mm-hmm. And then Jeffrey Simmons goes into the locker room and has the audacity to say that we need to figure out who wants to play for the Tennessee Titans. What is going on here?
It doesn't look it's frustration across the board. I can understand, because we gotta look at the whole sequence. And again, we're going by, and I brought it up to you off air.
Uh-huh.
And I wasn't going to bring it up on air because I didn't know whether it was true or not. But Hutt brought it up.
Right.
So I felt, okay, let me address it now. But as we were talking to Hutt and you were asking him questions, I glance up and, you know, we got ESPN and Fox on sports. But under the ESPN ticker, it says, you know, supposedly Simmons and Odell Beckham gets into a fight after the game. I'm thinking, like, did they mean during the game? Because he got a personal foul.
Yeah, and I wouldn't really call that a fight.
Exactly.
Think I'd call that a little bit of a tussle.
Exactly. But then when Hutt brought it up, so it's starting to trickle out there. Then you listen to Marlon Humphreys. But I go back to what I said yesterday and what I said today. That 15-yard penalty was because it's like that, you know, the butterfly effect or chain reaction. It's like you do this, which causes that. Well, Jeffrey Simmons, again, Jeffrey is a beast. The dude's a really good player.
He is a dog.
If the Titans didn't have him on his team on the defensive side of the ball, then it would be a little bit worse than what they're going through now from a defensive standpoint.
If he played for Colorado, he would have a D
on
his jersey.
But I respect his game, and I don't know him as a person, but the story, I respect him as a person because of the stories that I've heard. We've all heard stories of what he went through and now everything, so you respect that.
TD has a great write-up
exactly,
on Jeffrey
absolutely.
Simmons.
So you respect that as a person, and I just respect his play because he plays hard. But one thing I don't respect, and people, don't get this twisted because we know how, you know, you can have selective hearing around these parts. I don't respect what he did, okay, in a game that's already physical. If you don't know what I'm talking about, people, go back and just watch the game. You can go back and just pull up the game on YouTube or something. Go back and watch the game and watch the sequence where he got the 15-yard penalty. Watch what happened during that play. Zay catches the ball. Zay Flowers catches the ball. It was maybe a 7-yard gain, somewhere around there.
Yeah.
Two guys have him wrapped up. He's not going anywhere. Jeffrey Simmons looks at him and goes directly at his legs. That I don't respect. I don't. It's just not that I don't respect. I respect him as a person. I don't respect what he did to that young man because this game is already physical. We don't need to go out of our way to try to hurt an individual. It was always said, listen, okay, if you hit me dirty, I'm going to get you back within, you know, within the confines of the game. Like if I see you, I'm zeroing in on you. And if I catch you coming across the middle, bow, that's my lick back at you because I'm going to come at you and come at you hard. Or if I'm a receiver and you do something as a DB, I'm going to get you when I'm blocking. So I'm going to sort of, I'm going to do the Hines Ward to you. I'm going to sneak around, but within the confines of the league, and I'm going to get you on a crap back. You can't do crap backs no more. But back then you could. But it would have been all legal.
No
but
fun that, league.
Exactly. But that's me getting back at you for what you did to one of my guys. You can't do that in this sport to try to deliberately hurt someone. You went at his knees. That could have ended that young man's career. If somebody had did that to Jeffrey Simmons, I would say the same thing about them. I don't respect that act that you committed. That's why Odell probably said something to him. That's why, whether he needed him or not, I don't know. And if he did, then okay. But that he needs you because of what you did to his guy. And then you turn around and get a 15-yard penalty.
And hurt the team.
And hurt the team. That's frustration. All of that was frustration. And then supposedly, I hope it's not true, but supposedly you go after him after the game.
And we do have to consider the source there. That's coming from Marlon Humphrey, who plays with Odell Beckham Jr.
Exactly.
So if I don't think that he's completely making that up out of the blue. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think that he would just completely lie about that entire situation. But also keep in mind that he's going to want to
You could have embellished it a little bit.
His guy yeah. in a better light. Uh-huh. So I do take that with a grain of salt. But is it surprising to you, if that was the truth, if that was the case?
It wouldn't be surprising to me.
And that's a problem to me. Mm-hmm. Because Jeffrey Simmons, you're a leader on that team. You're a leader on a defensive front that needs to be a lot better than it has been.
Exactly.
And if you're waiting around to start fights after the game, after you lose, the fact that you're more angry with Odell Beckham Jr. after that game than you are for losing a game that you had an opportunity to win, that's a problem to me. That shows me that you are more caught up in whatever own personal vendetta than you are about losing a football game.
Yeah. And I understand, you know, in the heat of the moment during the game. I understand during the game, even though that's something you shouldn't do, you know, I mean in a 15-yard penalty. I'm not talking about what he did to Zay. I'm talking about the 15-yard penalty. I get sometimes you can get heated and then you do something. And then after the game, it's like, man, I didn't mean to do that. Like, God. And usually after the game, guys, you know, dap it up. And it's like, you know.
That's on
and
me.
They forget about it. It's like, that's on me, my bad. And you go about your business. But to then do this supposedly other stuff, we got to understand what is really going on within that locker room. And it may be nothing. But then again, it may be something. Because these are not things that we saw even last year when they were, you know, when they went on their losing streak. We didn't see it the year before. We never heard about these things with a Titans locker room until this season. So we need to wonder what's really going on in that locker room. What's really going on with those players right now? I'm not going to speculate, but I would like to know. Like, what's really going on in that locker room? What Jeffrey Simmons said after the game, is that true? Like, is we're trying to find out who really want to play as a Titan or who really wants to be here or not? Because I would assume all of them wants to be there. They want to be there. You want a job. You want to play in this league. Yeah. So why did you say that? Because you just don't say that without seeing things prior to that.
And Willie said, you know, he could have said that and that was just, you know, just something to say just to move on and, you know, just say your piece to reporters and move on. I don't know. There are a lot of things that you can say just to, you know, just get rid of reporters and say your piece that don't make headlines, that don't ambiguously call out individuals in the locker room, that don't put people on notice of what could be going on within the walls of the Tennessee Titans locker room. Like, there's got to be something to that.
Well, I think, you know, what we do sometimes as you know, people that cover teams or cover individuals or cover sports in general, sometimes we, you know, we say, well, that guy is very calculated at what he says. Like, we give them all the praise. Like, they know exactly what they're saying. They're calculated. They said it for a reason. But then, on the other hand, it's like, oh, they really didn't mean that. You know, that's not what they...
Nah, it's not both and, ways.
Yeah, you can't read it like that. No, we gotta give these guys, you know, when you approach a guy after a game, he's telling you truly how he feels. These are not throwaway lines, because they know throwaway lines can get them in trouble. Not necessarily in trouble, what I'm saying, like with the coaches or anything, but it could get them in trouble with the media because they can make something bigger than what it is.
Headline makers.
Exactly. These were not throwaway lines. I think these guys are very calculated at what they say. They think about it, because you're taught. I was taught a long time ago in this game. Listen, when you are being asked the question, you don't have to rush to answer that. Why? Because you are in control of this. They want something from you. You don't want anything from them. So you take as much time as you need, because they ain't going nowhere. You take as much time as you need to answer that question. You know, because they're interviewing you. You're not interviewing them.
You know, we're frustrated that we've lost two games in a row.
Exactly.
We felt like we had an opportunity to win that game, but we're going to go home. We're going to continue to work hard to win football games, and we're going to do it for each other.
Because on one hand, you're saying these guys are smart, but then on the other hand, you're saying they're dumb. No, these guys are far from dumb. They understand what they're saying. They understand who they're talking to and how they say it. What Jeffrey Simmons said after the game, he meant. Just like I told y'all what A.J. Brown said, he meant. And people were looking at me, oh, no. Yes, that man, he meant it. That's how he felt at that time. Mm-hmm. It may not have been how he felt after. Like, after reading it and saying, oh, I gotta take this down.
Yeah.
But at the time, he thought about it carefully. These guys are intelligent. And he said exactly what was on his heart at that time. And people looked at me, no, that's not. Man, I've been in this game long enough that I understand that when I wanted to get something across to a reporter, I said it in a way that everybody would know. I wasn't mixing words at all. Never had to go back and retract a thing, because I thought about what I said and then I said it.
And if Jeffrey Simmons is telling us there's people in this locker room that don't want to be here, that also falls on Mike Vrabel. That's his locker room. It's his culture. But there's something else that was brought to my attention at Mike Vrabel's press conference that made me raise an eyebrow. That made me think, is this who Jeffrey Simmons is talking about? And we'll get into that coming up next. Of course, your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Make your silly underdog picks for your chance to win weekly prizes. You can play at thegamenashville.com or the 1025 The Game app as we approach week 8 of college football and week 7 of the NFL. Silly Underdog Picks is presented by Volunteer Hose and Gasket.
Are you frustrated with Tyrre Tart not being out there for multiple weeks now and taking to social media, things like that?
I didn't see the social media. You know, I mean, I think that's – you get, you know, back and forth. Conversations probably never do anybody any good on social media. Maybe I'll read the mean tweets tomorrow. That would be my introduction. I'll read all the funny stuff that they say about us or me specifically. I did that one year. I think we ended up winning 12 games. So this coach sucks. This guy stinks. And, you know, ended up having a different tune. Guys all laughed about it. What I'm frustrated by is I'm frustrated when we lose. I am. We put a lot into this. And again, we have to make sure that we're doing everything we can, that when we're not out there, that we're doing everything we can to get back out there. You know, the other message that I try to tell them, because, you know, again, this is not talking about my career. I played in Nashville. I got hurt, right? I went through injury. But just the mentality or the appearance that you're doing everything that you can to get back out there, that you're as engaged as you possibly can in the meetings, that you're doing as much conditioning or you're doing as much treatment as you possibly can. Because I think – whether that makes you get back any quicker but at least leaves no doubt that you're doing everything that you possibly can. That's just a reminder that I try to tell all of them, knowing that we're going to deal with injuries throughout the course of the year.
You know what? We just need to read a few mean tweets. That's what this team needs.
Well, read them on, people. Read them on, Vrabel.
Bulletin board material. That's what's going to help us. But no, yes. That was Mike Vrabel. And Sam Phelan of A to Z Sports asked the question. And several of us, when we were at the press conference, went up to Sam afterward, like, what are you talking about, Tier Tart's tweets? Mm-hmm. I mean, it was like Terry McCormick, Teresa Walker, myself. We were all like, wait, what are you talking about? Mm. Because I always feel like if there's a Titans player that does something or says something notable on social media, mm-hmm. it usually starts to circulate,
yeah.
And Sam pointed out a tweet that Tier Tart sent out mm-hmm. right after the game ended, right after the Titans lost in London. And Tier Tart tweeted, and he deleted it. It's gone now. Which, this freaking team and the players that tweet stuff and then delete it.
Yes.
Tier Tart tweeted, "Who's really mad here?" with two, like, laughing, crying emojis. And I'm thinking, well, what does that mean? Like, what does he mean by that?
Yeah.
And then it all kind of started to make sense, piecing together a few things. Going back a couple weeks ago, I believe this was after the Bengals game, the week ahead of the Colts game. Terrell Williams, the Titans' defensive line coach, mm-hmm. was asked about Tier Tart and his health, when he could be available. This is what Terrell Williams said about Tier Tart.
I don't really want to talk about Tier right now, right? Just because he's injured and I don't, you know, I just don't know what the deal is. So I got to talk to Braves and Tier about Tier. You know, when he's out there, he's doing a good job. So that's where we are.
So I never really thought too much into that when he said that. That was, again, before the Colts game.
Exactly.
And then Sam Phelan pointed out this Tier Tart tweet to us. And I'm thinking, well, what's going on there? Because Terrell Williams sounded very obviously frustrated.
Yes.
And maybe it's frustration due to the injury. Mm-hmm. But this tweet of who's really mad here? Is something going on?
Yeah, did something happen behind the scenes within the locker room, mm-hmm. you know, between Tier Tart and maybe Vrabes or Tier Tart and Coach Williams? Something happened because, again, guys don't just put out statements like that just all willy-nilly.
And that's
like,
right after your team lost
exactly.
the game.
Like, I ain't got nothing better to do, so I'm just going to throw this out there.
Yeah.
Just to start something.
I'm bored.
I'm bored. I mean, I'm tired of sitting here and, you know, doing nothing. I'm injured. So I'm just going to get on Twitter or X, whatever you want to call it. And I'm going to put this out after my team just had a poor showing in London. So I'm going to throw that out to add insult to injury. No, you just don't do that. I believe Tier Tart to be much smarter than that. So when he does put something out there in the media like that, or social media, let's say that, there's something behind that. Again, these players are very strategic. They can't quite come out and say what they really want to say, but they give these little, you know, these innuendos or these little crumbs. They'll leave these little crumbs here and there and then go back quickly and pick the crumbs up. Well, hell, I already saw the crumbs.
A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I already saw the crumbs. I already saw the tweet you put out there.
I saw what you said.
Yeah, so to me, there is something going on. There is something going on. Again, like I said, when A.J. put that out, when he was saying what he said, and he had every right to do it, something was going on behind the scenes that he was trying to convey to everybody, but he can only say it in this cloak and dagger way. And then I pull it back, but I throw it out there. That's what people in today's society do. It's like, I'm going to throw something out there just so everybody can see it, but then I'm going to pull it back like I really didn't mean it. No, you put it out there for a reason. You put it out there so people can start looking in that direction. So what are you asking us to look at, Tier? I want Tier back on the field because I think they struggle without him. As good as Jeffrey Simmons is, I think Tier Tart, they both work well together. And when Tier's on the field, it makes Jeffrey's job a little bit easier. Mm-hmm. So what's really going on, Tier? Like, who you mad at? Or are you mad and somebody else is mad? Who is it? Because you ain't just going to throw that out there.
Right.
You know, I know you got a little security now because they signed you to a deal, so you now can sort of voice your opinion a little bit. So who you mad at, bro? What you mad at, son? Tell me. Who you mad at, son? Tell us.
The way it sounds to me, that Terrell Williams clip where he sounds very obviously pissed off about something.
And I know he's probably just, Terrell is, he's probably angry that Tier's not out there because they need him. And his defense line uncharacteristically is giving up the runs that they haven't previously given up in past seasons.
And Tier Tart's important to this football team. He's important to the defensive front that hasn't been playing to the level that it really should play to. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason is because Tier Tart's not out there. Now everybody else needs to step up a little bit. Mm-hmm. But that Terrell Williams clip, combined with Tier Tart's tweet after the game, combined with Jeffrey Simmons' comment after the game of, we want people that want to be here. If Tier Tart's saying, hey, who's mad now? It makes me think, and this is just my interpretation of the situation, of the he said, she said, social media antics, that the Titans were frustrated with Tier Tart for some reason or another. And they said, all right, Tier, you know, whether you're hurt, whether you're not, you know, you're not playing. And Tier Tart's looking at this team that's struggling and saying, well, you mad now? Who you mad at now? And all of this to say, this, like you said, there's something going on in the locker room. Someone is mad at someone, is frustrated with someone who's not doing their job, who's hurting the football team. And it all falls back on Mike Vrabel. This is the locker room. This is your culture. And it looks like there's a problem in the locker room. It looks like there's a hole in the culture. And what are you going to do about it? Because you're not winning very many games right now. Mm-mm. And it's hard to maintain culture when you're losing. So what are you going to do to fix it?
Well, we'll see. They got the bye week this week. You know, it can get guys healthy. But will this bye week change what seems to be a crack in the armor? Because, again, these are not things that we were seeing in prior years. Even last year, guys were frustrated, but I think they were more so frustrated because of the injuries. I think this year, see, what happens, so we can get out of here real quickly. What happens is your character is revealed when you start losing. Last year, they had an excuse because they were injured. This year, they're not injured. They're not. Mm-mm. Healthy team, and they're still losing. Now, the quarterback's injured now.
Right.
But
you're not a Treylon Burks difference.
Exactly. He wasn't. I mean, unfortunately, Treylon wasn't giving them much when he was healthy, and I hate that for Treylon.
I do, too.
You know, so what's really going on?
That's what I want to know, and it's incredibly concerning considering what this team's going to have to do to right the wrongs of the first 6 weeks. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. So the Titans have some difficult decisions to make here in the next couple of weeks. Trade deadline coming up in 3 weeks, right around Halloween. You've got a bye this week, Falcons next week, and it feels like a game that you really need to win. But there's been some grumblings around the trade market. Would we do it? Would we make those moves based off of some of these proposed trades? We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D. Mays, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
John Daly here. You know what day it is? Neither do I. I live life daily. That's why I only spin on Moto Casino. Moto's got daily free bonuses, daily tournaments, new slots added daily. And the best part? Guaranteed daily jackpots. You can't beat that. So today's the day you grip it and spin it with me on Moto. America's social casino. Play for free on Moto.us.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Memorial Day Sale and get 30% off paints and stains May 15th through the 28th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online to have it delivered or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.